from Philadelphia, Mr. John Marks. John, how are you doing tonight, sir?
What's going on?
Not much. Thanks for taking some time today. Obviously, pretty interesting game last night. First off, what did the fans think of sitting through a game in which there was 8 inches of snow, I assume, on their seats?
Well, it's pretty interesting because I wasn't down at the game. I'm watching at home, and I got people texting me from the game, and it was cool for, like, the first quarter, and then you get into the second quarter and nobody's scoring. There's no offense.
Yeah.
Detroit's up 8-0, and it sucked pretty quick because you're wondering if your team in a game that you really need to keep up in a playoff race, you're wondering if your team's going to be able to score. Then the snow stops and it gets the second half and the conditions improve a little bit, and they score 28 points in the fourth quarter. So it was a wild, crazy game for sure.
Wild, crazy game, and we're talking about the great game between the Detroit and Philadelphia yesterday, in the snowballs they're calling it. What about the players? I mean, it's got to take you back to when you're 10 playing outside at recess time, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's what I think everybody was saying, and that's why it was so cool in the very beginning of the game. Was they're like, wow, like you can remember playing that. I remember any time it would snow growing up. First thing you do is you get the boys in the neighborhood, you go out there and you play some football. It was interesting that they were able to, if you looked at all the games yesterday that had snow involved in it, you had Baltimore, you had Pittsburgh, you had the Eagles. There was no scoring early, but then look what happened in the second half.
Yeah.
It was explosion. So like the Ravens game yesterday, I think they scored 35 points in the final 2 minutes of the game. So it wasn't expected because they were calling for like an inch, a half an inch, starting at about halftime, and then at noon it was blizzard-like conditions. So it was unexpected, but the players, the Eagles players seemed to like it because they got the win. The Lions players, not so much.
We're talking with John Marks from the Fanatic 97.5 in Philadelphia. I guess, when you're the quarterback in that situation, Foles or Stafford, who makes the call you're not throwing the ball? Is that just is that the offensive coordinator, or is that himself saying, listen, I can't throw the ball when this slop is all around me?
Yeah, it's a pretty good question. I know Stafford, the first throw in the game, and Stafford has one of those arms where he feels like he can throw through anything, he can throw through players, And the first ball of the game that he throws, probably about 15 yards, it was supposed to go 40 yards. So I think these guys figured out pretty quick that it was going to be difficult to throw, especially early. Then they kind of got their bearings around themselves, and the snow calmed down a little bit. And then you saw Stafford throwing the ball a little bit. Now, Foles barely threw it all in the first half.
Yeah.
Then in the third quarter, the drive that their first scoring drive that they had, he threw quite a bit. But then you saw in the fourth quarter that it was all running because Detroit, you think about the snowy conditions like that, it really puts the defense at an advantage because they don't know where they're going. The offensive guy, for the most part, knows where he's going. The defensive guy doesn't. So you saw the advantage with the Eagles, especially with LeSean McCoy. And it didn't seem like it was snowing out there to him. It seemed like it was dry and he was in a dome the way he was cutting. But I think it was pretty apparent early on to the coaches that this was not going to be a big throwing day.
The Eagles win 34-20 over the Lions yesterday. And LeSean McCoy obviously was huge. But he was, he was finding holes and running like it was like his job, which obviously it is. But, he ran for 217 yards, 2 touchdowns. Did anyone expect this coming into the game?
No, because the Lions actually have. They have not allowed a 100-yard rusher this season in any game. And I believe the last 4 games they haven't allowed anybody over 60 yards. So when we were kind of breaking down exactly what was going to happen in the game, you're going to have to beat them with the pass because their secondary is a little bit suspect, but their run defense, their big guys up there, Farrelly and Sue, they're tough to run on. So, no, I don't think anybody really expected that, especially when the snow started coming down. That's the interesting thing about the game yesterday was all the game planning and all the hours that these coaches spent coming up with a game plan, how are we going to beat this team, not sleeping, being at the office 24/7, going through all the film. And then that snow happens, and it all goes out the window. And then you're almost, like you said, playing in your backyard. How can you beat these guys? And interesting enough, that McCoy, he ran for a franchise record. All the years the Eagles have been playing, and we're talking about 80-some years, that was the most yards anybody's ever rushed for in a game, 217 yards. He had like 140 in the fourth quarter alone. So very unexpected, especially with the Lions defense coming in. But once those snowflakes started coming down like that, everything was out the window.
Jeremy Ross for the Lions is a pretty dynamic returner, but he had both a punt return and a kickoff return. The kickoff return was 98 yards. It looked like he was running through a bunch of wooded Indians standing on the field for the Eagles. Should this be blamed on the specialty teams for the Eagles, or is it weather conditions?
Yeah, it was tough, and then after those two returns, then they were kind of pooch kicking it away from them. But then later on in the fourth quarter, they kicked it to him again and ran back to the 50-yard line. it's pretty interesting. Just like when you talk about LeSean McCoy, and once he was able to get through the line, then the linebackers were pretty much they were done. They didn't have much of a chance, sure. And it seemed like it was the same thing with Ross. He was able to kind of get through a hole, and then no one really had a chance because they're on their heels, they're backing up. One cut and you're gone. So the special teams, for the most part, the coverage units of the Eagles this year has been pretty good. So I was watching the game and I'm saying this. I'm saying if the Eagles lose this game because they were losing early, it's really hard to be mad at them because of the conditions. So I guess I have to look at the same thing with the special teams because they have performed well all season. And it's tough to be mad and blame them, the fact that there were 8 inches on the field when they were playing.
We're talking Philadelphia Eagles football with John Marks with Fanatic 97.5 in Philadelphia. Surprisingly, in a game like that, I would have thought there'd been a lot more penalties, and Philly only had one penalty for 5 yards. Is that, how does that happen?
I don't know. It's pretty interesting. The Lions actually got, I don't know how many penalties they had total, but they had a bunch of offsides.
Yeah.
For the most part, I don't know if the refs, especially in the first half, I don't think the refs could see anything. I mean, you literally could have taken an offensive player and pulled him down. If you're an offensive lineman, you could have pretty much tackled the defensive player. I mean, watching from home, watching from the stands at the game, Chip Kelly could barely see what was going on the field. The players really couldn't see the plays that were being relayed into Chip Kelly. I just think, for the most part, the referees were holding on for dear life. So I think that was a contributing factor to it. And the other thing was, sometimes you just have clean games, and you're not committing the penalties. But I'll tell you this, if that was a non-snow game and it was 45 degrees out, the Eagles would have gotten a heck of a lot more than one penalty for 5 yards.
Now, the Eagles, they're 8-5, not the greatest division they're in. What does this mean for their playoffs going forward?
Well, depending on what the Cowboys do tonight, Monday Night Football at Soldier Field, it's supposed to be 6 degrees of game time or something like that, 6 degrees Fahrenheit. So it's going to be cold, but Chicago needs the game. Dallas needs the game. The Cowboys would hold the tiebreaker because they did beat the Eagles earlier in the season. So if they win tonight, they improve to 8-5. They play the final week of the season in Dallas. So it's looking like that game is pretty much going to decide who goes to the playoffs or who wins the NFC East. Unless the Cowboys really lose two of their next three and then go into that game where it doesn't matter because they do hold the tiebreaker. So it's pretty much Dallas and the Eagles. There is an outside shot that one of the two teams could be a wild card team, but ultimately it looks like to get in the playoffs from the NFC East, you're going to have to win it, and it's probably going to come down to that final week with Tony Romo trying to prove he's not a choker going up against the Eagles.
Well, let's have it. I'm a Giants fan, and I remember a game where the Giants and the Cowboys played to see who went to the playoffs. The Giants win, they go on to win the Super Bowl. I have very little faith in Tony Romo, and quite honestly, I hate the Cowboys, so I'm a bit biased.
And Romo missed that wide-open Miles Austin, if you remember the play, and that would have pretty much sealed the game. And, Tony Romo at this point, I mean, you can throw all the stats that you want to me, like his fourth quarter quarterback ratings high. I know he has, one of the best records ever in November, but you can't get the images out of your head of him throwing timely interceptions in big spots in the fourth quarter. And I'm with you. He's got to prove that he can win a big game in December. And there's not going to be a bigger game than the final week of the season against the Eagles.
Yeah, and don't you think, I mean, this is a little off topic, but for quarterbacks in the NFL, I think you're judged on playoff victories and ultimately championships.
Absolutely. I mean, this may not be fair, and it's probably not fair because it's how you judge quarterbacks. But if you said the name Dan Marino to me, my reaction would be, good, great quarterback, didn't win a Super Bowl. You know?
That's what I say, too. Yeah.
Yep.
And people jump all over me when I say that. They're like, how can you say that? He's one of the greatest of all time. Like, show me the championships. And that's why I think in the NFL, you're judged on championships.
Yeah, you really are. And you look at a guy like Joe Montana, no one says Joe Montana is the best quarterback ever if he wins one Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. It's because he's got the rings. Tom Brady, no one's saying he's the best of all time if he doesn't have the rings. So ultimately, it's what people are going through right now with Nick Foles in Philadelphia, and then you look at Tony Romo in Dallas. Tony Romo's not winning playoff games. He can put up all the numbers that he wants to. People are always going to judge him. If Peyton Manning, for instance, didn't win that Super Bowl however many years back against the Bears, the topic of conversation every week until he wins it is, can he win the big game? Because he's got that one Super Bowl, it's kind of a monkey off of his back. But to be a quarterback in the NFL, you got to win playoff games, you got to win Super Bowls.
John, I couldn't agree with you more, and I'm going to tape this. Or I have it taped. I'm going to play it every time someone tells me about Dan Marino because I can't agree at all. John, thanks for your time today. It was a fun game, and I'll be following the Philadelphia Eagles closely the rest of the way.
All right. Anytime you need me. Thank you.